This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Welcome to Strange Familiars. Allison?
Yes?
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well.
It's good to know. Have to check in with you once a week. Tonight, I'm going to be talking with Adam and Surfiel from Conspiranormal Podcast and Strange Realities Conference. It's kind of a relaxed conversation, but as it's Albatwitch week, we're getting ready for Albatwitch, so a nice relaxed show is easy to put together here. Have some friends on from one of our sister podcasts, Conspiranormal. They've been doing it since 2012.
It was just called the radio back then, wasn't it?
In the interview, Adam mentions, like, yeah, I thought I was late to the game in 2012. I'm like, wow. So they've been doing it quite a bit longer than we have.
Well, the other thing is that there are a lot of shows that really were just radio shows that now call themselves podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like podcasts are, I mean, we'd go through this rant a lot, but I feel like podcasts are for the people.
Yeah. Yeah, we talk about podcasting, we talk about Strange Realities, of course, but we talk about gold prospecting, which is interesting. The Cottingley fairy photos came up. We did a show on those.
Yeah.
And a little bit about hoaxing and stuff as it relates.
There was a fairy mentioned. Did you mention Josh?
He got a mention in the conversation, but I don't think specifically
because of the fairies.
In the Cottingley fairies part of it, but yeah.
He will be there as well, right? He usually
Josh will be there in person at Strange Realities. But before we get to Adam and Surf, we've got some business we need to handle here. And that is, Albatwitch Day is this coming Saturday. We haven't talked about it very much on the show this year. We need to let everybody know, as I am, Albatwitch Day royalty.
Is that right?
We've established that I am the Princess of Albatwitch Day.
Somebody does need to make you a crown, I think.
I will not be speaking this year, but Stan Gordon is speaking. I believe he's the first speaker of the day. So I think rated 11 a.m.
Does this not work like bands?
Yeah, you would think they'd put Stan later in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should.
Because some people come from far enough away where it takes a while. But yeah. It's not starting till 11 this year, right?
The speaker started at 11.
No, yeah.
I think the whole event starts at 11, but you know.
But further up the way, they're having another event that starts at 9, so.
Yeah, the thing in the graveyard that we did earlier mm-hmm. in the year. Yeah.
There's a lot to do in Columbia over the weekend.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they have speakers all day. I forget who else, but Stan Gordon's definitely one of them. And definitely worth checking out. Stan always for great Pennsylvania paranormal and other weirdness.
The OG.
There'll be bands. There'll be us.
There are a lot of vendors.
Yeah, a lot of vendors, but most importantly, us. I will have books. Come get them signed. And we will have t-shirts galore. We got restocks of the classic Strange Familiars Awoken Tree in the Strange Familiars Blue, the classic one. Should have those in all sizes, small through 3X. So you can get those. We haven't restocked those in a while. And we've had some in like, we might have had some mediums left, maybe a large or two. But most of the sizes have been sold out in that. So it's good to restock the classic Strange Familiars logo shirt. That'll be there. And the Eyes of Night shirt, now in blue. It's printed in Strange Familiars Blue. We printed it in white last year. And I have to say, this thing pops in blue. It looks so good. And the ink is somewhat, it's not glow in the dark, but it is somewhat UV reactive.
Yeah, put a black light on it and it does kind of glow.
It does kind of pop. Yeah, so we can't really say it's glow in the dark, but it does look like it's like UV reactive. It was really cool. Sage said he mixed in some, I guess some of the whatever makes it glow in the dark with the blue to kind of do that. So I want to thank Sage at Forest Passage Printing for printing our shirts. He always does an amazing job. So thank you so much, Sage. That'll be at Out Betwixt Day. I'll also have prints there. Like I said, books, Strange Familiars t-shirts, patches and stickers.
Some friends of the show will be there.
I don't know if we should announce them because they won't necessarily be there at our table all day, but stop by. It'll be worth your time. That's in Columbia, Pennsylvania, this Saturday, October 5th.
Mm-hmm. It's right along the river. I feel like it's nice just to be. It's like just a scenic location. Like you couldn't kind of ask for a more beautiful location to be vending to because you just get to stare out at the water all day. And
yeah. Yeah, it's Columbia Riverfront. It's always just such a fun day. And as of now, the weather looks good. I looked at the weather.
We've had 2 weeks of solid rain. We have not seen the sun.
In a while, yeah.
It's been, it was. I think it was the day of the equinox was the last day we had any light.
Looks like it's going to be a nice day. Please come out. I know Strange Familiars listeners are coming from afar, like from at least one from the West Coast. We got them coming down from New England, I believe. Maybe from Alaska?
No.
Maybe. We'll have to see. I'm not quite sure. I know this person was in Alaska, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure if that's where they reside. But definitely people coming from the West Coast, coming from all over. So a lot of Strange Familiars listeners will be there. It's such a fun day.
There's stuff to do in town, and it's such a walkable town that if you find parking anywhere in town, that you can get to all the events.
Yeah, plus the cool antiques shops. And
I will say this, though, like download the app and make sure you have the parking paid for because they are on it if you miss it by a minute. Mm.
There are places to park for free, but if you're parking at
the street, yeah, it's cheap.
It's easier to get the app.
But it's easier just to put on the app. And then
they also, I think they have canoe tours. They've got the trolley tours for Albatwitch Day, which are kind of like haunted trolley tours. They can tell ghost stories on the trolley and stuff.
But you get to go up to Chickies Rock where there's a lot of like actual Albatwitch sightings have been, right?
Where some Albatwitch sightings have been, yes. And they throw apples, I think, out for the Albatwitch up in Chickies Rock and so forth. Such a great time. Come on out. That's Albatwitch Day this Saturday, October 5th, in Columbia, Pennsylvania, at the Columbia Riverfront, right by the old bridge. Another thing I need to mention.
Yeah.
And I didn't mention this on last week's show because I hadn't come up with the idea yet when we recorded last week's show. But heading towards October, I thought, wouldn't it be cool if I did an original Bigfoot illustration every single day in October and call it Squatchtober? So Squatchtober has begun, and the first two drawings out and sold within minutes, both of them. I'm going to be issuing a drawing every day. I put them up on Patreon first, because patrons should get first shot at this stuff. Then they go on Discord, which is all patrons anyway. Then Instagram and Facebook. So keep your eyes on those places. Or if you want, just keep hitting refresh on our Etsy shop, because they have to go there first of all, you know, to get the link.
And it's not going to, I don't, just because of life, it's not going to be any designated time.
No, the first 2 days it was around the same time just because.
Morning-ish time.
That's the way it worked out. But yeah, it'll be whenever we get to them each day, basically.
You know there's 31 days in the month.
Yeah, did I say 30?
No, I was just saying that's a lot of drawings.
Oh yeah, yeah. Each one is signed and numbered. 1 out of 31, 2 out of 31, etc. So awesome way to support the show and get some original art. And some of these...
You like them.
Yeah, I've been having fun doing these. So go ahead and check out my Squatchtober illustrations. They're priced according to how much I like the illustration, basically. So, but it's none of them are going to be crazy expensive because they're not huge.
Yeah.
So it's a...
Dealable.
Yeah, pretty good way to get some original artwork. And I think, just because based on what sells, I think my original Bigfoot illustrations are probably the most desired things I do. It's a good way to pick up some Bigfoot art by me and help the show as you're doing it. Got some thank yous. Zoe wrote us a nice letter. Well, wrote me a nice letter. You weren't included in this one.
Although, I talk to Zoe all the time.
Although she did wish you well. Thank you, Zoe. She sent a little pamphlet from a Catholic church out in, was it Wisconsin? Somewhere out that way. And Greg K. from Indiana sent me a bunch of holy cards and a Padre Pio medal, saint medal, that he picked up. So thank you so much, Greg, for that. Much appreciated. All right, let's go ahead and talk to Adam and Surf about conspiranormal, strange realities, and more. Adam and Surfiel, welcome to Strange Familiars. How you guys doing?
Good. It's doing great good. To be here, Tim.
I'm guessing it's been about a year since you've been on.
I would say, yeah. I think I made a brief appearance when you interviewed Nevaeh.
Right.
I think I spoke like two sentences.
A surprise from the background.
Around the same time last year, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I think it was. What's new with you guys? Other than Strange Realities, which we will talk about in length shortly.
Yes, well, doing pretty well. Been doing conspiranormal now for a long, long, long time. And just kind of keeping up with that. And we've been doing Strange Realities. I've been working on, you know, you had Nevaeh on not that long ago on Nevaeh's Nightmare on that YouTube channel, that project. So staying pretty busy.
You kind of like the production guy for that.
Yeah, you could say that. I edit the video, and then I also have written some of them as well.
Oh, okay, so. Cool. Nice. And Surf's in the Pacific Northwest, right?
Yeah, I haven't got out to go squatching too much yet, but definitely on the legend hunt and starting to take my little baby steps towards some gold prospecting mixed with some history.
Really?
It's real fun. Yeah.
So every now and then I'll watch some of those gold prospector videos and I'm like, I think I like that. I think I could do that.
It's fun and it's cool to approach it from, you know, some of the interests that we share in mysteries and supernatural and things like that. And, you know, things like dowsing are really common. And of course, there's all kinds of legends and even conspiracy theory tied up in all of it too. So it's cool to come at it from this weird perspective, you know, folks like us already have.
So are there places where just anyone can go, or do you have to have a claim or, you know, it's permission to be on someone else's claim? How does that work?
It's a little complex, but basically different jurisdictions, whether BLM, Forest Service, state parks have their own kind of thing, but all waters are considered state property unless there's some other kind of regulation. So it's a lot easier to pan, even though those are kind of like seasonal too for actually getting in the water. You could pan a lot of places outside the water and like the flooded, previously flooded area. But then for actual like load mining, which is, you know, digging in the earth significantly, you definitely need claims for that. Still a lot out there.
I was talking recently about the Ape Canyon incident, and people found the remnants of the cabin, I think maybe a decade or so back. But somewhat recently, I want to say in the past few years, they found the gold mine, which according to the guys that were there, they said there was still plenty of gold in that mine. They left because of the attack, because of the incident with the Bigfoot. But they said that there's still gold in that mine. So
cool. Yeah, I'm kind of on the hunt for some of these weird stories I'm sure I'll come across with some of the personalities too, just because so many different weird people came out to the West in general to do that. So,
yeah.
So it's fun. Yeah. But it's about to get rainy for a while. So that'll be mitigated a little bit.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you're going to try to go out and do some panning, Tim? Are you inspired?
Well, there's actually Cadores Creek right here in York County. There is one particular part of it that is known for gold, where people have gotten, they allow, I think once a year they allow panning in there. It's in the Park Service does.
Okay.
So you can go in there and pan, you know, with their permission once a year, but maybe I don't need their permission.
I think Serfiel is going to disappear into the woods with his pan and just live out there in a little shack and pan for gold.
Oh, man.
That sounds nice.
That's going to be the life.
I mean, look, nice. Writing this book on hermits, you know, part of me is like, it doesn't sound that bad.
Right?
Like, it doesn't sound that bad at all. Maybe a little cabin in the woods, and that's my retirement. We'll see.
I can tell you, Tim, that I think I'm really looking forward to this book the most. Just from listening to a lot of what you talked about on Strange Familiars about hermits.
Mm.
It's really some of the best stuff. It's a really sad kind of emotional stories, but I'm really like looking forward to this book. That's why I think every time I have you on or I'm on here, I ask you about it.
Well, it's time. All the writing's done. So I'm literally finishing up the illustrations.
Cool.
I probably have 4 or 5 more chapters worth of illustrations to do, which sounds like a lot, but it's not really, because they're spot illustrations. They're just kind of like the end of chapter kind of things, you know? So hopefully this month I can finish it up. I'm going out of town in the early part of the month, but I should have time when I get back to hopefully finish this up and get it out before the end of the year, which is really the goal. I was hoping to get it out by September, and then it keeps getting pushed. Well, you know what it's like doing a weekly show. It's just,
right.
It takes a lot. That has to come first. And then, I need a life beyond making podcasts and writing books too. So I started hiking a lot more again, which is good for my head. So I cannot give up hiking. That's like giving up a part of myself, you know? So I make time to hike and get out there and do that. But I want it to come out too, because I'm super interested and how it's going to do. It's my first not paranormal book, right? Josh keeps saying it's paranormal adjacent, but is it? I don't know. Only because I cover hermits on Strange Familiars, maybe. You know, there is some paranormal stuff in there. There's one, you know, one hermit was mistaken for a Bigfoot. A couple of them do, like, you know, card readings and claim to have psychic abilities and stuff. But generally, it's not a paranormal book. It's a book about hermits. So I'm really interested to see how it's going to do. I want to know if I can, you know, make a dent in the world of books outside of the paranormal. We'll see. I've done okay in the paranormal world. We'll see what I can do with the outside of it here.
When it does do good too, that'll be interesting to see your readers, you know, first encounter all of your other stuff and see what they think after that too.
I mean, it'll be neat to see those two worlds kind of cross over and collide there. I keep saying, and I mean it, this is, as far as illustrations, this is my best illustrated book. I think I'm really, really happy with the way it looks. Every book I make, I get better at making books, and I understand more like what I can do, you know, creatively with books, and I get more excited about designing books. I absolutely love doing it. So this one is my best yet, I think, as far as illustrations and design and stuff. And got some other plans going forward. Got a lot of ideas for books. So we'll see what happens.
I know we're going to talk about the conference, but what started the fascination with hermits?
So Allison bought me a postcard, photo postcard of one. And she simply said, "This looks like a wild man. You'll probably like this guy." And I left it on my desk. And that was William Woodruff. That was the first one we did a story about on Strange Familiars.
I remember that one.
Yeah. And I just left it there for months. And, you know, one day I was kind of cleaning up and shuffling some papers around, and this photo postcard pops up, and I had a few minutes, and like, I was like, let me figure out who this guy was, see if I can find any information on him. And, you know, these newspaper articles started popping up. And I was like, oh, man, this guy is interesting. So then I did a show on it. And I was like, well, I want to start collecting hermit photos then. And then I started collecting them. So the book is based on my photo collection. So every hermit in the book, you actually get to see a photo of them. Almost every hermit. There's a couple in there that don't have photos. But almost every hermit, you see a photo of, you know, what he or she looked like. And
sure,
sometimes more than one. Some of these hermits I have many, many photos of. And some of them, I'm pretty sure I have the only photo in existence of some of these hermits.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Allison is such a, like, she isn't, she's like an archivist. So she finds all these old photos and, like, that's, she's such an expert in all this stuff.
She's the photography curator for a museum. Yeah. So she knows her stuff and she's a fabulous researcher as well. It's something we share, a love of research for sure.
Yeah.
I would say our shared kink is research.
Hey, that's cool.
So on Nevaeh's Nightmare, we're doing the Cottingley fairy photos.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that was a more interesting story than I actually thought it was, just specifically because I didn't know that the Theosophical Society was involved in promoting all that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think we did a little segment on them at some point, like a half a show or something on those photos.
One of the greatest paranormal hoaxes of all time, which honestly really was only meant to have been a practical joke that the girls were playing on their parents, but it got way out of hand mm-hmm. once the Theosophical Society and Arthur Conan Doyle get involved.
And it's amazing, that, you know, because, I mean, it worked at the time because photography was, you know, this new medium that it shows how things really are, right? And
people,
like, we look at those photos now, we go, like, that's so goofy. Of course, like, it's not real.
It's goofy. Yeah.
But back then,
all the ectoplasm stuff and seance stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, back then, like, this is the new medium and it shows things as they really are. So people were just like, oh, if it's in a photograph, it must be real, you know? Yeah. So.
Well, the interesting thing about the story, too, is that they were trying to figure out, is this a real photograph? Well, they are real photographs.
Right. Yeah.
But they're photographs of little paper cutouts. So that was always like, was there a photographic trickery? No, there wasn't. The girls set it up, but that was the big debate at the time. Mm-hmm. And it was quite simple as to what, and a lot of people knew, like Houdini, you know, was also one of, you know, he was a great debunker of a lot of the spiritualist claims. And he, came out against it, and said, well, he said it was from this particular like catalog or something. Well, it wasn't, it was from a different thing, but then that was used to say, see, the girls actually, what's also interesting though, too, is that the girls kept it, I mean, into their 70s and 80s, like 1983, I think, is when they finally fessed up that it was a hoax. Hmm. And so they just kept it going for essentially like, you know, 60 years, essentially.
Thought I remember coming across some story, and I could be wrong about this, where they said like, yeah, we hoaxed them, but we also saw real fairies.
So the younger girl, she fell into the creek and she came home and she was soaking wet. Her mother was mad at her. And when her mother asked her, why are you soaking wet? She said, well, I saw the fairies in the Beck, which is the name for the creek. And the mother obviously didn't believe her. And so she had the older cousin. And so she came, well, since they don't believe us, we're going to prove that the fairies are real, you know, as a joke. But Frances, who was the younger girl, she maintained to her into her dying day that she did see fairies. So it's an interesting story. What was interesting too was just how the Theosophical Society, they were really promoting fairy folklore. Mm-hmm. Evans Wentz was in the Theosophical Society.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how the influence, theosophy has a ton of influence. Which, by the way, when I was in Seattle, Sir Field took me over to the Seattle Theosophical Society, which was really cool.
I have some very early publications from them, I believe. Like little magazines. We call them zines today. Little things from right. like 20s and 30s. I'll have to dig them out and show you guys. But the thing where she claimed to see fairies, it reminds me, like, you get that so much with people who are hoaxing. My favorite example is the people who admitted to making the crop circles. And they said, yeah, we made them. But while we're out there making them, then we're surrounded by weird lights, and we see these orbs, and all this weird stuff is popping off around us. It's like,
Right, right.
It's like the act of engaging in this stuff, even as a hoax, sort of brings out the elements a little bit.
Yeah, the famous poltergeist case in the 70s, also in Britain, the girls there would fake activity.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a way to like prime the pump, and that would cause activity to pop off. It's interesting, the relationship between hoaxing and actual paranormal activity.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, even the Sears at Garabandal, that Marian apparition site, at least once they faked. And they got caught, and the priest pulled them aside and said, I know you were faking, don't ever do it again. But they said there was a crowd there, and they were so afraid the crowd would be disappointed if nothing happened, that they faked it, you know, that so it's like woven into this stuff, you know, it's weird, mm-hmm. that whole hoaxing trickster thing. Well, how long has Conspiranormal been going on? You guys started before Strange Familiars a good bit, I believe.
Started 5 years before. You started in 2017. I started in 2012.
Amazing. Wow.
Yeah, I guess we're going to be pretty much at this point, it's like 12 and a half years that we've been doing this.
Wow.
I mean, Turfiel's been doing it with me for, you know, nearly 6 years.
Yeah, I remember when he came.
It's been a while.
Did you always, you had other co-hosts before, right?
Yeah, we did. We had Rob, who we called the producer, who, you know, really produced the show. And we had Luke, who's been on my current roommate, and a few people kind of in and out in the early days of Conspiranormal.
He's not your current roommate. He ascended to the next.
He ascended to the next level. Yeah. Yeah. He just ascended one day on the show. And
what's that like? 12 years of Conspiranormal.
Man, you know what? I mean, it's been a real journey, man. I mean, I think really the best part of it has been making friends,
mm-hmm.
and contacts, and being able to, like, you know, hang out with people like yourself and Josh and Tim Benal, Soraya, all these people that I've met. And it's interesting because there's a lot of different phases to Conspiranormal. Like, we went through like this big UFO phase, went through this big folk magic phase. We've kind of gone through kind of weird political conspiracy phase. And, you know, it's interesting to see kind of the development of it. I thought about going back and listening to like every episode, but I don't know if I could take it.
God, that's a lot.
Do you have a lot of my own voice
to listen to.
Do you have any clue how many episodes it is?
We are around 490 episodes now.
How did I catch you?
That's a good question.
You take breaks?
Not really, but we have over the last year. We have taken, you know, maybe two.
We've slowed weeks off,
stuff like that. We've kind of slowed down this year on it until very recently. We would kind of been doing the show every 2 weeks, and that's once the conference is over, we'll go back to probably doing it, but every 2 weeks or so.
Mm-hmm.
So there's actually probably more shows than that, because for a while we were being ambitious and trying to do like bonus episodes and stuff like that, that turned into like full scale episodes. So
yeah,
we're closing in on episode 500.
Yeah. That's
true. Is pretty momentous.
Yeah. You know?
I think at a certain point too, we decided to be less ambitious about it. I think, meaning we just wanted to keep having fun and make that the most important thing, rather than chasing some kind of sliver of this, you know, content entertainment world, that we just like got to the point in our personal lives and right. with the show that we were just like, you know, we're not gonna like break through to some other side of this, you know what I mean? I mean, like, just the style of the show, not having big like entertainment based personalities, you know. I think we're just kind of honest with the fact that like we want to, the most important thing is just have fun, and we want to keep doing that and not try to like chase some kind of next thing or try to be, you know, internet personalities.
Do you see it as like, I can look back on Strange Familiars and see like somewhat as there's a story kind of going through it, right? As I change and as my views change on this, you know, it sort of affects the show and the show affects me and so forth. Can you see that, or less so with Conspiranormal?
I'd say definitely.
Mm-hmm. I'd say it's like Adam's journey.
Yeah.
The chronicling of Adam's journey.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I would say that I could consider myself still Christian in a way, but you know, I was more, I guess, serious about it when I started it. So there were a few more things that were kind of on this like weird Christian Nephilim based world that I used to inhabit early on, which also mixed in with like some paranormal stuff as well. But you know, I think when the pandemic started, like in 2020, I mean, there's a definite switch there. And just, I think both Monsterfield's attitudes about, especially dealing with like the conspiracy world and just how crazy things were getting. And we probably lost a lot of listeners, you know, because of that. But there's plenty of other shows that people can listen to.
Yeah. Talk about a time when people were like chasing things, you know. And the type of notoriety that people got, and by like pushing certain viewpoints and positionings and attitudes, and it just got real nutty on that side, especially way more so than the paranormal.
Yeah, yeah, it got pretty wacky, and
it's still wacky.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean, I won't say I lost friends because of it, but I definitely had some friendships sort of adjusted, we'll say, because of just madness with that stuff, you know.
Yeah, and I think we're getting back to the point where like in 2023 2024, we're kind of like we can step back and assess all that, and I think people are starting to kind of come back together again.
I hope so.
Some of that stuff,
I hope so. Yeah, I mean, because I'm not even talking about politics, I'm just literally talking about other kinds of conspiracies. I don't want to get into it.
Yeah.
I don't want people to get upset about it, but it was just like, I just came down on one side of this and this guy came down on the other, and we were good buddies. And it was just like just drove a wedge between us, you know? And it's not like we're not friends, but it's just that wedge is there, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It makes sense. I mean, I would say that we probably did lose some listeners, but I would think we gained some too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think it's a net, it's a net gain, really. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely like a journey of my own thoughts and thinking. I mean, when I started it, I'm 48 now. And when I started it, I was 35. So that's a big,
oh yeah,
that's a big like leap, you know, in age and time. And also, I think what's been valuable, and I think you would agree with me on this, I think Soraya would too, is that we chronicled, I feel like, a lot of voices that, like, you know, there's a lot of people that I've interviewed that are gone. Mm. You know, somebody like Tim Beckley, you know, he was pretty important in the whole UFO scene and as a publisher and all that. And we got to talk to him, which was a real pleasure. And, you know, a few months later, I think he passed away. Mm. And there's several people like that. So I see it also as like, you know, it's definitely a chronicle of these people. And so, you know, we have a kind of like a more free, in some ways, a free form format. So to like hear them talk and to hear these experiences and to hear, you know, what they've done in their life, I mean, I think is, you know, I think it's pretty important to chronicle some of that. So
Yeah.
That's another thing that I think was pretty valuable about our show, but also others as well.
I've often thought about researchers in the future kind of going back and listening to our shows and stuff and, you know, using it as a resource for kind of what we do now, you know.
It's like Smithsonian Folkways, we've said a lot before.
Yeah.
You know, Josh has done that. I mean, he's in one of his books, I believe he used one of our interviews as, I think it might have been in Thieves in the Night. I think he used, I could be wrong about that, but I do remember one of his books that he used one of our interviews as like source material.
Yeah.
So definitely there's a value to it.
I always wonder about that when academia.edu always tries to like send those ads to you, and they'll be like, S. Stevenson was mentioned in so-and-so papers, yeah, you know, yeah. You're like, what, is it really me?
I get those messages
on the podcast
every day. Yeah. I get this message. I'm like, is it
T. Renner mentioned in,
And I know there's a Tim Renner who does music for NPR, and there's another Tim Renner I saw as well that does something else like related to all this. And I'm sure they're probably tired of seeing my name around.
Yeah. To jump in real quick on what it's been for me personally, it's like, it's really just been a crazy learning experience and journey. I started when I was like really in some kind of like doldrums, been out of school for a few years, just like working a dead end job and really needed some stimulation. And it's really taken me on a wild ride and felt like I've really advanced in so many ways and gotten access to so many different people and perspectives, and just, it's been quite the journey for me too. It hasn't really like shifted a lot of my paradigms, but I'll always be grateful to Adam for letting me be a part of this.
I'm grateful that you're a part of it, because Surfield's been around for, like I said, nearly 6 years now. So
yeah, that's, if you'd asked me, I'd have said 3, maybe. Time does fly.
You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
I experience like waves, right? So I never hate it. I always say I'm very lucky to do what I do. But there are times where I'm way more inspired than other. Recently I've gotten this like kind of renewed excitement for it. Like, and I have all these ideas, like I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do this. And that's exciting. But do you go through periods like that where you're like more excited about it, and other times where you're like, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
There's definitely been those periods where I've been less excited and then more excited. I think really, like, I mean, we're living in this kind of like, you know, Surfield mentioned this as far as the absolute plethora of podcasts now. I mean, right. If you think about when I started this in 2012, I thought I was late to the game. But now if you're, I really feel if you're starting a podcast, you are late to the game.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's really that there's just so much, and you're going to be pretty much, I think, pigeonholed or niched into, you know, who's going to listen to you. Mm-hmm. And I'm really not seeing how some of the newer shows are able to get as many listeners as they do just because of just the sheer amount.
Yeah.
And plus you've got podcasts now. Has become, you know, it has become an advertising platform, but it's also become, you know, these media organizations or like a newspaper or whatever, they can start their own podcast, say like a true crime podcast or something, and they can get millions of listeners because the subject matter, but also because they have an organization behind them.
Right.
And also, you know, what is podcasting now is also YouTube and watching people talk
really
to each other on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, which is
the whole thing
we don't do as much. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, most people think of something like, you know, Joe Rogan or, you know, Lex Friedman or, you know, these guys, that type of that. They say that's a podcast. Mm-hmm. But, you know, these kind of like our conversational style podcasts that we have and we've been doing in the past, you know, it just isn't as much anymore. And it's easier. It's getting harder and harder, I think, for just like people. Even though you can do it, it's cheap to do it, right? The barrier to entry is low, but I think it's harder for people to gain listeners because you've got just so much more.
Oh yeah,
you know, more popular people doing it again. Oh, more and more now.
Yeah, well, once these big media companies realized there was money in it, then they started these podcast factories, and they just pump them out, and they have whole teams editing. You know, they have whole teams doing this, you know, where we're doing what we do ourselves, you know, and I'm not complaining. I'm, like I said, I'm lucky to do it, but I'm just saying, like, these bigger media companies that are just pumping out podcasts, I call them podcast factories, you know, they just pump them out left and right. Mm-hmm. And they have research teams. They have, the hosts, if they're doing a paranormal one, the host probably doesn't even care about the paranormal. They were chosen because they had a good voice and they could read well, you know.
Yeah, we know a few people who get paid to research for large podcasts and stuff. So.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, it's hard to get an audience for these that are just starting. That, like you said, the YouTube thing is huge. We get requests all the time. Why don't you guys video yourself? Well, that's not how we started, and that's not what we want to do. And half the time I'm going to places where I don't really want video of these places. Mm-hmm. And so this is going to be an audio show, and I may do some video things in the future, but Strange Familiars is going to be an audio show. That's just the way it's going to be. Allison doesn't even want to appear on camera. So what are we going to do about that? Like, when she's co-hosting, you're going to put her behind a curtain or something.
I've never really seen the point. Other than we have done certain things in the past, we've done live streams and these things, especially around the time of Strange Realities, we will usually do those as a way to advertise.
Yeah, I'm open to it, but I'm just saying, Allison does not want to be on camera. I don't mind myself being on camera. I have some plans for doing stuff, maybe some live stream kind of things like that, where we can be on camera. It's not a problem, but it's like the main show, you know, that's going to be what it is. You know,
that changes the whole dynamic of performance and everything. I mean, like, you know, I'm super laid back with you guys, 'cause I know you guys, even if, you know, someone's new and we're just going to be using the audio, but to know that you're like being recorded live, people are going to be staring at your face, every expression you make, you know, it's like, it kind of messes up my whole delivery.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
It's too much pressure.
It changes things for sure. For sure. So what year is this for Strange Realities? How many years is this?
Six.
This is the 6 year for it. Wow. So
from humble origins, when you were at the first, of course,
yes,
Tim.
Yes. When I saved Tim Banal's life at the Airbnb.
He'll forever be chronicled.
I don't know if he realized he was in for a hospital visit. If I didn't catch him, he tripped on
I'm going to make sure to remind him.
He tripped on his pajama pants and fell backwards on the concrete stairs. And I happened to be behind him. I'd hurt my knee the night before. And we were both lucky my knee didn't give out, because I was limping around. My knee was not doing well, but I caught him. I literally caught him. He fell back, and that would have been a hospital visit if I hadn't caught him. So,
God.
Tim Banal owes me one.
I'll remind him of that at about maybe 2 a.m. on Saturday night.
I don't know if he'll have any recollection of that whatsoever.
I don't know if he'll have recollection of much.
Probably not.
That was crazy. So, yes, but it's still at the same place, right? Still doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, we have done it at SIR Nashville since 2019, with the exception of 2020.
We probably wouldn't be able to do it in Asheville without that venue, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's a super cool place. Like, you guys,
it is.
Did you know them before you did that?
Well, so Rob worked there, and he works there. He went back since in the last couple of years, and so he's back there now. And yeah, so I knew of it from that, and they have everything that we need.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a big room. Stage, podium, obviously sound, lights, you know, so it's got everything that you need. And
it's cool. It's you know, rock and roll and not like a hotel ballroom.
Yeah, no, it's a super cool venue.
SIR Nashville is mainly used for bands to practice in.
Sounds
and stages. they do some expos as well there, but it's also for renting out instruments as well. So, but it is a great venue. It's a great place to have it.
So if you come and you want to play a electric sitar, you can rent that for the day or whatever you need to do.
All right. I will rent an electric sitar then. I have no idea how to play it, but I'll play
it on the wall. I think they brought it down for me once, but haven't really plugged it in.
I'll play it.
I wonder how much that gets rented. I don't know.
It's always there. So.
Yeah.
So what's the lineup this year?
Okay. Well, so this year in the past, we've been splitting these things up. And last year we decided that we were going to do 2 days on site at SIR and then a day online only. So that's how we're doing it this year again, November 1st through the 2nd. That's going to be at SIR. So it's Friday and then most of the day on Saturday, although we'll be starting a little bit later this year. And then on Sunday the 3rd, we will have the online only speakers, of which you are one. We wanted to try to get you to Nashville, Tim, but
it was looking like it was going to happen. And then my life got complicated. I've done a bunch of travel this year already and going back to Indiana in October, so probably should chill out on the traveling.
Yeah, I think the gods were playing with us on that one, but one day we will get you back to Nashville.
Well, Octavian was going to drive and I was just going to go with him, but then his life got complicated as well, so I didn't want to put it all on him. I think he would have done it if I kind of leaned on him, but also I'm not sure if it would have been a good thing for him either.
So this year we've got at SIR. So Steve Berg is going to be back as the MC this year. He spoke in 2022 and he MC'd last year, and now he's going to be back being the master of ceremonies.
Which has been really great and kept the whole energy just flowing.
Absolutely. And we've got Nathan Isaac from the Penny Royal podcast. He is back this year. Nathan's been, he's been part of this since 2020 as well. And who we were just talking about not too long ago, Mr. Tim Banal, also will be back. He will be speaking on Friday night. Micah Hanks is going to be joining us too from Asheville, North Carolina, which I'm, really excited.
Hope he's all right.
Micah was really kind of instrumental in some of this because we had this idea back in like 2016 to do something like this. Hmm. And, it just didn't get off the ground until 2019. So he was an online only speaker in 2022, but he's going to be here this year. So I'm really happy about that.
Nice.
Ren Collier as well. I know Ren. Mm-hmm. He will be, he's kind of does double duty. He's a speaker and then he also does tech stuff for us as well too. And some guy you might know, Tim, named Joshua Cushion.
Oh, that guy.
Some of these, I don't know the presentations before they're actually going to do them.
Somewhere we'll be announcing in the coming weeks.
Shows. Right. Right. We're going to be doing these preview shows and we'll be talking to everybody about that. But really what we do, as far as these like for people's presentations, is that, you know, we let them choose their own topic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as long as it's not like overly offensive, which we've never had anything like that happen, you know, we're cool with it.
Wait, so, do you hear mine this year?
Well, but Josh says, but Josh says he's got something new and fun this year. So that's what he told me. So that is the, that's the scoop from Mr. Joshua Cutchin. Brent Rains is returning. Brent is, he lives like pretty close to us, about like 100 miles away. He's been doing stuff in ufology and paranormal since he was like 15. And I believe now he's like in his early 70s. So he's been doing this thing for a while. So he is the oldest of the group, of which we also have the youngest, which is Nevaeh, who is you interviewed on the show not too long ago. And Nevaeh, her name is Nevaeh Terry. She is going to be speaking about, I believe, about Victorian funeral practices, because she is studying to be a mortician here in Nashville, which I think you talked a little bit about that on.
Yeah, a little bit. I should have had Allison talk to her about that. Allison.
Oh, yeah.
Quite a bit about that.
Yeah, yeah. They I think they would have got along really well.
Yeah, there's a hair work thing. I don't know if you can see it. It's like right there.
Yeah, photo. Yeah. I think I remember you talking about that on the show too.
Hair work all around it, and then that's an actual marble salesman sample of a monument there.
Right.
Oh, marble cool. Monument and stuff. So yeah, Allison's got quite the collection for that stuff.
And then we've got Steven Snyder, also known as Recluse. He's going to be there as well. He'll be speaking on Friday night. He's returning. I think Steven's been doing it since 2020, right? I think, Serfiel, I'm pretty sure he's been.
I think it's been every single one, yeah.
And we've got Kendall Lackey, who just was on our last episode. She is a local Nashvillian as well, and does like tarot readings at the Room of G's here, which is a little shop here down in Nashville. And that's the lineup for Friday evenings and Saturday during the day.
Nice.
We're going to be going all the way. We start at 5 o'clock at SIR Nashville. We'll probably be going till about like 10 o'clock that night on Friday, and then starting back up again at 12 o'clock, and then probably going about 10 o'clock. But I should also say too, that Serfiel and I are going to be presenting, and that's not on the flyer, but are on the website, but we'll be presenting as well.
Together or separately?
Separately. Okay. Separately. I'm going to let Serfiel kind of, if he wants, he can tell people what he's going to do, which I think is really cool. And it's more of a workshop than it is like a presentation or a game, really, than anything else.
Oh, man. You're going to make me reveal it all here on Strange Familiars?
I've got to get people interested.
I was trying to keep it low key, but I'm going to do a workshop of conspiracy divination. Where, you know, it's going to be similar to systems where you draw random cards or cast lots or things like that, but it's going to be with either political actors or multinational corporations or strange philosophies and religions and cults and things like that. And you're going to be able to see what you're dealt and construct your own conspiracy chart with the help of explanation of different graphic models and the history of conspiracy charts. So it'll be some nice little arts and crafts to add to the day. And I think with all the weirdos there and all the energy in the room, there's probably going to be some really weird shit that gets casted. So
everyone will have their own Pepe Sylvia Always Sunny board with
that's the detective board deal. I'm gonna try to have some crafts too, so some construction paper, and then, you know, if they do want to do the classic cork board thing, probably find a way to do that.
Oh wow. I was joking. Nice.
Yeah, no, I want people to have a lot of fun, to have something they can take with them. So yeah, I want to have a lot of fun with that and provide a nice kind of break to a lot of lectures.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's always nice break it up a little bit, have something else go down.
And Adam?
Yeah, I'm gonna reveal for the first time on your show what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna be doing a kind of compare and contrast of two main things, one of which is Fatima, and the other is the Ariel School of Visitation.
Oh, interesting.
In Zimbabwe in 1994.
Wow.
And then also I may be mixing in some of the weird clown sightings. And the way that I'm kind of putting it together is putting these three things in historical context. In other words, the kind of like social and historical pressures that are going on in the society and how it manifests into this kind of into a paranormal event.
Interesting.
And no matter what your kind of interpretations of the paranormal event is, it's more that these social pressures and these things are causing these paranormal events to happen. Mm-hmm. And then whatever the interpretation of it is the interpretation.
Right. Right.
But it's interesting to me because I look into the Ariel School case and I was kind of struck by, you know, how similar it was to a Marian apparition in some ways. Mm. And from there, because both cases involve children. Actually, the clown sightings involve children too, so that's a common theme in there as well. So that's going to be kind of like what I'm going to talk about and focus on for my presentation.
That's super interesting. So I laid the groundwork for you last year by covering Fatima.
Yeah. So
people who heard my speech, you won't have to get into intense detail.
Right. Right. And it's kind of like looking at kind of what's going on in Portugal at the time, mm-hmm. and also looking at what's going on in Zimbabwe when that happened at the Ariel School. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and these different events that could possibly cause it. And then also two different interpretations of what these two things mean.
Yeah.
Clown sightings are also, I think, due to, you know, social anxieties and pressures as well. And I'll probably focus more on the Boston wave of the 1980s where they were seeing, that was really like the first clown sightings of like Lauren Coleman wrote about. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so I'm going to be looking at those three things. And from working on with Nevaeh's Nightmare on the channel, I didn't write anything about Fatima, but I did write about Ariel School and also the clown sightings, and I was kind of stricken by just how similar some of those things were. So
that's a super interesting one. Yeah, very cool.
So that's an idea I've been playing with for a little while. But
Sunday is going to be. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. And then Sunday on the 3rd, November 3rd, we're going to have Soraya is coming back. Mm-hmm. And we'll have Greg Bishop, Robert Guffey, Katie Andrews. Now, Katie, I think she's going to be doing something on horror movies. She has a YouTube channel called Katie of the Night. And Katie's also been, she came to the very first Strange Realities. She's the only person I think I've ever given a flyer to that actually bothered me.
Okay.
To
show up. All right. Okay. All right. And,
And so, but this year she's not going to be able to be there in person, but she will be able to do the presentation on the online day. So excited about that. And also Mr. Timothy Renner will be doing it too. So
yeah, I will be,
you know, what you're going to be presenting.
I will be talking about disappearing evidence.
Cool.
Mainly focused on the Bigfoot phenomena, but it happens all across the board. But obviously, I just know much more about it in terms of Bigfoot. So we'll be talking about how much stuff goes missing and then all the weird stuff around it, like the Bigfoot analog to the Men in Black, these two guys that tend to show up and intimidate people.
Yes, I love that stuff.
Talk about them, and cool. We'll see what else we can work in there. I Can't believe I've never given this presentation before. I have a folder where I keep all these presentations. And I was sure I had done it. And I even thought I had done it on Strange Realities. But I've never done this before anywhere.
Did it go missing?
Nah, there you go. Maybe it did. No, I don't think I've ever done it anywhere. It's just, it's one of those things where it's a topic that's so clear in my head that I thought, oh, one day I'll do a presentation on that. And I just never did. But it's so at the forefront of my mind. It's so clear in my head that I must have thought I'd already done it. But so this will be brand new.
Awesome. Good, and I really like how we got
I'm excited to see that.
With the, you know, Sunday being online only, we kind of, you know, we kind of host like our own little watch / host party at Adam's apartment. And I think it was it 2022 or three that we tried to do all the way hybrid, where we were like broadcasting the online presentations onto the screen inside of SIR and back and forth.
2021 was like that, and 2022 was like that. But
yeah, you know, last year
we didn't do that. So there
were, it was way too much
online. Yeah. And also, I mean, like, I mean, hell, I mean, like it saves us, and you know, it saves us a whole day of, you don't have to pay for the space.
Right. So yeah. Heck yeah. But if people buy tickets for the online, you stream the presentations at SIR, right?
The whole thing.
Yes. Yeah.
So they'll get to see the whole weekend.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah. That's the thing. The whole week. Yeah. Either way, that $30 gets you in. We will have a Facebook group that is where you'll be able to watch it. Now, I know a lot of people don't like to use Facebook, so we'll have another option for those people. But there is, you'll be able to watch it, and you don't necessarily have to watch it live. And in fact, there's few people that don't. So, but you can go back and you can watch it. But the whole thing is online, and that $30 gets you into the whole thing.
Nice. And where can people get tickets?
Tickets are available at strangerealitiesconference.com, and they are $70 to come to SIR for the both days. I'm going to have some day rates available as well. If people want to come up either Friday or Saturday, or they are close to Nashville, if they want to make a day trip and don't have to pay for a hotel and come back afterwards, those will be available as well. And then, like I said, it's $30 for the whole thing if you want to watch it online.
All right. I'll put that link in the show notes for everybody. And where can they find Conspiranormal?
Conspiranormal, of course, you can find it on conspiranormal.com. I've been really lazy about updating the site. However, you can find us anywhere there's podcasts. So Apple, Spotify, all that good stuff.
All right.
And same place, I'm sure you can find Strange Familiars.
Real quick, Adam, I think we do kind of want to put out there also that this is likely going to be the last Strange Realities Conference in a large multi-day format, kind of big research symposium conference, whatever you want to call it. You know, we've really tried hard to keep it afloat. It's really not sustainable. It works within the red. And, you know, these types of things are just harder and harder to maintain nowadays. Like I said, kind of with SIR, like that, having some kind of, you know, SIR, you know, was almost some kind of subsidy, just it's, you know, how reasonable it was and all the things provided. But going forward, probably not going to happen in 2026. We're going to continue to do online events and may do like some small little events in different cities. We've talked about that before, just like one night at a club with some music, maybe two, and one or two speakers, something like that, I think is a more sustainable future.
Yeah.
But we've really liked being able to get together with everyone. It's been really special these last 6 years or 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know you guys were putting so much work in it. It was almost, you get done with 1 year and almost start prepping for the next year.
Essentially.
Yeah. It's a lot of work to do these kinds of things.
So. Yeah. And it's just hard to break even. So, you know, unless we get like a Robert Bigelow come around and want to be our sponsor,
you know, it's probably not going to happen in this kind of format.
If you, addressing the audience as you, if you are on the fence about coming to Nashville and going to Strange Realities Conference, this is your chance.
There you go.
Because we will not be doing this next year.
Sad to hear, but completely understand why. Yes. The amount of work you guys put into this is insane. And it's
I feel like mission accomplished, though, you know? I mean, to do this for 6 years.
Heck yeah. So it's a great event, too. It will be missed, but I'm glad you're replacing it with other things, just like the online stuff. And I think it's a great idea to just do little club nights. Like, we're working on Strange Familiars Live to do the same kind of thing, like just tour with it. But I think that's the way to go, I think, rather than... Because we were thinking about doing a Strange Familiars Gathering, like a bigger festival event. It's still not off the table, but the live touring thing is going to be a lot more sustainable. That's way more what I'm focused on right now.
Yeah, it's a lot to ask of audience, you know, to make a whole weekend out of it. And for that reason, too, we appreciate so much the people who come, and we've really built a great community. But this is going to be the last hurrah.
All right. I thank you guys for doing it. I'm excited and proud to have been part of everyone. So thank you for that. StrangeRealitiesConference.com, ConspiraNormal.com, Nevaeh's Nightmare. Where's that?
Well, you can find that at, just go to YouTube, typing in Nevaeh's Nightmare.
All right.
Just, if you have trouble spelling that, just take Heaven and just spell it backwards.
Heaven backwards.
You get her name.
There you go. So. All right. I'll put links to all that stuff in the show notes for people. Adam Cerf, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Strange Familiars is made possible by our patrons. If you like Strange Familiars and you'd like to get extra content besides, you can become a patron at Patreon. It's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. All of our patrons get commercial-free versions of the weekly shows, plus full extra episodes. We do at least one every month. Sometimes we do more. To check it out, go to patreon.com/strangefamiliars. Once again, whenever I finish the Hermit book, which is taking me a little longer than I thought, as it always does.
It's like construction at your house. It's always about double the time you think it's going to take.
Once I get done that, we'll probably be raising the rates. But if you get in now, and as long as Patreon lets us do this, they've let us do this since the start of the podcast, so I think they'll let us keep doing this, you'll be grandfathered in, and you'll pay the rate you enter in at. So if you get in now, the entry-level rate is $4 a month. When the rate raises, you'll stay at that level, like I said, as long as Patreon lets us do that. Once again, it's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. We also have a plan on Apple Podcasts. It's called Patron of the Strange there. If you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, you also get the commercial-free weekly episodes and the bonus episodes monthly. And I'd like to thank all of our patrons, no matter where they support us. Thank you so much. As we're moving towards Halloween here, we have entered October. Our curiosity of the week is, I don't think they're dressed for Halloween.
No, I think they're a theatrical troupe.
But they're still in really cool costumes. Could be a little strange coven
there. Well, she does have this, like a star dress with a moon hat with a veil.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It is all women. Huh. I've never heard of this photographer. I mean, if they're famous, they've not crossed my path before.
Where are they from?
Little Falls, New York, which I don't know where that is either.
Mm. It's
apologies to all the people listening in Little Falls, New York.
It's next to Big Falls. It seems to be a theater troupe because it says compliments of the
company, I think.
Company? New Year's 1878. So we have a date on this. Does that make sense for the photo?
It does.
So it's a cabinet card photograph. Nice big image.
Yeah, they're really cool.
Yeah. So I'll put a picture of that in the show notes, and if you click on that, it'll take you to our Etsy shop where you can purchase this photograph and other curiosities of the week, those that are left. There are three owls left from last week as we're recording this. There were four originally, Then we put another one up 5. So 2 have sold.
Okay.
And there are 3 owls left. So if you want some owls, they're still in there, still in the Etsy shop. And we have some other curiosities of the week left. Also at Etsy, Strange Familiars t-shirts, stickers, patches, mugs. We will add the new t-shirts in after Albatwitch Day. Might be later in the month by the time we get them in there, but they'll be in there. Artwork, originals and prints. Keep your eye on that for the Squatchtober, going up on Etsy every day this month. Allison has ephemera there. She's got some old photos and some other ephemera and more. Our Etsy shop name is Lost Grave, but if you type in Strange Familiars, you should see our stuff come up and click on that. It'll take you right to our shop. All right. I think that's it. Come on out to Albatwitch Day, everybody. Everyone who can. I realize not everyone can get there, but we'd love to see you if you come out and keep your eye out for the Squatchtober illustrations. We'll be back soon with more Strange Familiars. Strange Familiars is a production of Dark Holler Arts. Intro and background music is by Stone Breath. If you want to hear more or purchase music, you can go to stonebreath.bandcamp.com. We're on Instagram at Strange Familiars, one word, no underscore. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/strangefamiliars. The Strange Familiars Gathering Group is there as well. For Strange Familiars merch, it's strangefamiliars.com/merch. And strangefamiliars.com is where you can find us all the time. Thank you.
lying, your own true love. I'm sure you would slay me. Oh, I'm sure you would slay me. Wish I had my bow to bend, my arrow in my string. I'd shoot you through the beaten.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQBars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.